humorist Sam Levinson wrote, "It's simple to be wise. Just think of something stupid to say and then don't say it." Romans 16, verse 25, the apostle says, "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith, to God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." That phrase, "to God alone wise be glory." God is infinitely wise. His wisdom is something we just can't even grasp, no matter how hard we try. John Piper says, "Wisdom is knowing the greatest goal in any situation and the best way to achieve that goal." Wisdom is knowing the greatest goal in any situation and the best way to achieve that goal. On October 24th, 2001, the New York Times offered their first news piece about a new electronic gadget called the iPod. The paper noted that Apple Computer introduced a portable musical player today and declared the new gadget was so much easier to use that it would broaden a new market in the way that the Macintosh once helped make the personal computer accessible to a more general audience. It went on to say analysts were impressed with the ease of use, but they also pointed to its relatively limited potential audience, since there were only several million Macintosh owners and 90% of the computer users were committed to Windows operating system. Since that assessment of limited potential, Apple has sold well over 100 million iPods. In fact, they are so prevalent today, it's hard to believe the iPod is actually a post-9/11 phenomenon. Wisdom sees the big picture. Wisdom's different than knowledge. You can have knowledge without wisdom. And you probably met many people who know a whole lot but don't seem to be very wise. But you cannot have wisdom without knowledge. Because in order to discern the best way to achieve a goal, you have to be able to integrate all kinds of factors from various sources of knowledge and experience. In Romans chapter 11 and verse 33, he says, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." God's wisdom is so deep. It is so vast. His knowledge is unlimited. His wisdom is so deep that we, no matter how hard we try, we can't even approach understanding it. What he's saying is that God's wisdom is so deep that his judgments are unsearchable. God's wisdom is so deep that his ways are untraceable. We can't even follow a path and figure out where he's going. You can't follow what he's doing without being way over our heads in information and understanding. In fact, the wisdom of God is so deep and it's so expansive that he does not and cannot increase in wisdom. God has all wisdom and he has all the wisdom that there is to have. God knows everything and his wisdom is perfect. And his actions are always perfectly wise. Charles Ryrie, the theologian, he said, "The wisdom of God tells us that God will bring about the best possible results by the best possible means for the most possible people for the longest possible time." I want you to consider two things. Number one, remember that you experience God's wisdom in a fallen world. The fact that we are in a fallen world doesn't make God's wisdom any less perfect. Doesn't make his plans any less perfect. Matthew chapter 5 in verse 45 is a verse that we want to look at. In this present evil world, God's wisdom does not necessarily shield his children from sin or from problems. Nor does it punish wicked people all the time in their sin. I'm sure you've wondered at times, "Why in the world is this happening to me, God? I'm trying to serve you. I'm doing what you're telling me to do. And all I have is problems. And look at that guy. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't give any regard to you. And everything seems to be going fine with him." It doesn't make sense. Listen, Scripture says that in his wisdom, he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. and He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. We're encouraged in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So realize and remember that you experience God's wisdom in a fallen world. It's a distorted world that we experience God's wisdom in. And so don't be surprised the way things are, but God promises that He's going to straighten them all out. And then secondly, remember that you experienced God's wisdom in salvation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 to 25, talks about that. You see, everything about God's plan to save us looked doomed to failure. Think about it. He used a teenage girl in a stable in a little town. The father was a simple carpenter. Then there's the group Jesus chose to turn His ministry over to. Not exactly the top of the class choice of disciples. It all looked doomed to failure. And the seemingly most foolish move that could ever be made was the crucifixion. It didn't make sense. But that was God's perfect wisdom. That plan was the perfect expression of God's wisdom. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 says, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. Through the cleverness of man, you can't get to know God. You can get some information about God, but you can't get to know God. You can't enter into a relationship where you get to know Him on a personal basis through the wisdom of this world. It says it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because, and I love this statement, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. If you could take, if there was such a thing, as weak wisdom from God's point of view, it would still be stronger and wiser than the greatest wisdom that man can ever come to. What was God's goal? Verse 31, it says, therefore, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. God chose us, He purchased us, He called us, and He gave us everything involving our salvation in such a way as to strip away all of any self-congratulations and replace it with glorying only in Him. There is nothing we can do. We can't applaud ourselves and say, look what I've done to be pleasing to God. Look what I've done to be acceptable before Him. He did it in such a way that that was all stripped away. And if there's any glory, it can't be in ourselves and what we've accomplished, but it has to be in God and what He accomplished, what He did for us. It takes repeated lessons in humility to bring us to the place where we rest in His wisdom and trust His plan. Because as much as we can, we like to be in control of things. As much as we can, we like to use our cleverness, our understanding in order to accomplish things. And it takes us a whole lot of futility and humility to come to the place where we realize that we don't know enough to run our lives. And that when we do try to run our lives, we more often than not make a mess of things. And it takes a whole lot of stumbling and falling. It takes a whole lot of humility to come to the place where we realize that He's the one that we need to trust. That He has the wisdom. And He's made that perfect wisdom available to us by His Spirit. And that we should rest in that, and we should trust Him with our lives. Let me share with you a few steps that can help us get to that place, that can help us get it to the place of trusting Him and resting in His plan. The first one is, I call them wise living. Wise living starts with fearing the Lord. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. First, you're called to recognize that He is the Creator. He's your Master, and He's the Lord of everything. He's holy, and He calls all the shots. And then, when you realize that, that He's the Creator, that He's the one that's in control, that He's your Master, then in response, you're called to willingly submit yourself to Him and His plans. Without this, there is no wisdom. It starts with salvation, and it continues with humility. We have to, in humbleness, acknowledge that God knows everything, and we know close to nothing. in humility realize that God's the one that has the best plan for our lives, and ours fall so far short. And it's when we come to that realization and we surrender to that, that we can then begin to walk and live wisely. So wise living starts with fearing the Lord. And then secondly, wise living grows by receiving God's word. Psalm 19 and verse 7 reads that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. His word can take the little that we know and can, by His truth, make us wise. So as simple as we are, as little as we know, He can make us wise by His word. Nothing can replace the Bible for showing you the mind of God. You want to know who God is? Read His word. You want to understand the way that He works, the way that He does things? You read His word. You want to understand the way God thinks, the perspective that He has on everything in your life and in this world? Read His word. Nothing replaces that in trying to understand and trying to know the mind of Christ. And we can know the mind of Christ because we have the Holy Spirit living within us. And we have the written word, the living word of God. And if it's His word, that means it came from Him. Nothing can replace that. The more you connect with God through His word, the more wisdom will characterize your life. Of course, that means that your thinking will begin to change. And it'll be at odds with the world's way of thinking. It will be different than the way that many others think, and that can cause you some problems. But as your thinking, your decisions, your words, they become consistent with God's word, then your whole life will be characterized by wisdom. And then number three, wise living requires asking for it specifically. James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. You know what that's doing? That's taking us back to the first point, isn't it? We take the perspective that God has all wisdom and knowledge, and we have very little. When we ask Him for wisdom, we get to believe that He's going to give it to us because He promised to give it to us, and not doubt. If we're doubting when we ask, if we're doubting that what He gives us will actually take care of the situation, because often the things we're commanded to do in God's Word seem to be completely contrary to the situation. They don't make sense. One of the best ones, and we all know this one, and we all struggle with this one, is tithing. Tithing says, if you don't have enough money to take care of your needs, you give more of it to God. That doesn't make any sense. You go, wait a minute. I don't have enough now. How can giving more of it take care of the situation? The whole issue of tithing is not so that God can have money because everything's His anyway. The issue of tithing is a demonstration that you trust Him to meet your needs. And He responds to that trust by doing what? Meeting your needs. But it's faith. And so you say, okay, God, I really need to understand how to make ends meet. And He says, give more of it away. And you say, okay, I trust You. I rest in Your plans. You know more than I do. Your wisdom is perfect. Mine's not. Okay, I'm going to give more away. That's what James is saying. And I use that example because that's the one that we all deal with. Because it's right there. It's tangible. It's right in front of us. We live it every day. And that's what James is saying. And you say, okay, God, this is the need that I have. I need some wisdom. God says, okay, fine. In that situation, this is what you need to do. And you go, I don't know. I hear You, God, and I see that those words are printed in the Bible, but I don't see how that can take care of this situation. Well, James says that's doubting. And don't expect God to give you all the wisdom you need if you're going to doubt Him and you're not going to trust. They're hard words, but it's the truth of God's Word. You don't come to God for a second opinion. You don't go to God for second opinions. You go to Him right up front, and you seek His wisdom, and you trust Him, and you follow His plan. We come to God to say, God, this is the situation. You take and overwrite Your wisdom on this situation. Whatever You show me, I'm going to follow. And it's a whatever. I need Your wisdom, Lord, in this situation. And whatever You show me and how to handle this situation, I am going to follow that. That's trusting God. That's following His plan. That's what James is talking about. And when you have that attitude, you've got God in the right place. He's first place, you're not. And you're receiving His word, seeking to understand and know His mind, then when you ask for wisdom because of that, He's going to give you. And how does it describe He's going to give it to you? Liberally. Liberally means He's just going to be pouring it on. That's how God works. When we trust Him, and when we're trusting Him and we seek wisdom, He's going to just pile it on us. People are going to all of a sudden look and go, that person, wow, how wise, how understanding. Then God can use us. God can use us to counsel people in the truth. God can use us to help other people in their walk with Him. Because He's given us so much wisdom that we don't need all of it for our problem. He gives us so much liberally. He gives us so much wisdom. We've taken our problem. We got all this extra wisdom. We say, oh God, okay, I didn't need all this wisdom. What do you want me to do with it? And He says, I want you to minister for me with that wisdom. I want you to serve me with that understanding. So wise living requires asking for it specifically. Let me finish with this thought. A.W. Tozer, another great theologian, one of his most famous books is The Knowledge of the Holy. He wrote these words about God's wisdom in our lives. To believe actively that our Heavenly Father constantly spreads around us providential circumstances that work for our present good and our everlasting well-being brings to the soul a veritable benediction. Most of us go through life praying a little, planning a little, jockeying for position, hoping but never being quite certain of anything, and always secretly afraid that we will miss the way. This is a tragic waste of truth and never gives rest to the heart. There is a better way. It is to repudiate our own wisdom and take instead the infinite wisdom of God. God has charged Himself with full responsibility for our eternal happiness. And He stands ready to take over the management of our lives the moment that we turn in faith to Him.